This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, you're listening to Beyond the Ballot Box with me, Dashran Johan. Recently, Higher Education Minister Dato Sri Mohamad Khalid Nordin said that the government has no plans to repeal the Universities and University Colleges Act 1971, more commonly known as AUKU. But he also said that they are open to suggestions on how the act can be improved. But what exactly is AUKU and what is its impact on university students in Malaysia? Joining me on the show to discuss this is Alif Naif. He's the president of the Student Union of the International Islamic University Malaysia, IIUM. He's also a student activist. Welcome to the show, Alif. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Can you explain what exactly is AUKU and what does it entail for Malaysian university students?
Okay, so AUKU is an act first introduced back in 1971. And what it entails for university students is that, first and foremost, in principle, it's a governing act of university. So it doesn't just affect the student, merely only the student, but also the whole academia, including the surrounding where the students, in which the student is a part of. So what it entails is that it, whether we want to take it positively or negatively, somehow, in principle, it is an act that governs the totality of students' life.
Right.
Whether merely being a student or on campus or even outside of campus sometimes.
Absolutely. You know, as we know, AUKU hasn't always been part of the Malaysian landscape. How did AUKU come about and why did it come about?
So for this, as you mentioned, I agree. It's not a part of Malaysia since its inception back in 1957. Because back then, you can see student protest is like a norm with the students, activists from, right now we call it University Pendidikan Sultan Idris, for example, those student activists who fight for independence. But in 1969, we can see the focus of the government is for political stability. Also, they say, because of the racial riots and because of the election. So, in one record, Professor James Chin, for example, of Monash University, he did mention that this act is enacted to prohibit the powerful student movement that is becoming more powerful. Because if a student movement can protest for independence, what more about elections, right? So because of this, the student movement who demands more and more from government, whether it is in political terms or economic terms, this student movement is gaining traction. And because the guise or the spirit of the government at the time, the focus is mainly on political stability due to the circumstances at the time, this is seen as a threat.
Right.
Although it is democratic, regardless it is seen as a threat, then this is enacted to govern the academia, not just the student, but the university as a whole.
Right. And what has been the impact of AUKU on activism in Malaysia since its inception of AUKU, right? What did the activism scene in Malaysia look like before and after AUKU?
Before AUKU, if we read the history books on how student activists come about before AUKU, we can see that they are not just politically spirited, but they are intellectually empowered.
Right.
Before AUKU, for example, the students in University Pendidikan Sultan Idris before this SITC, Sultan Idris Training College, before their activism start on the ground with all the protests, they hosted discourses with activists even from Indonesia at the time, even from parties or groups that might deem controversial in Malaysia, for example, the communists or the socialists from Indonesia. So right. They are intellectually empowered. Hence, when they go about on the ground to do protests, they are not just merely chanting, but they have substance in their demands. So that is the scene that we can see before AUKU. But after that, more and more students being suppressed with the establishment of AUKU. And where we can see that these students, they're not just being curbed from joining protests, but they are also prohibited from having having a more critical discourse.
Right.
Because one thing, I saw the tentative for orientation week for University Malaya before AUKU. They discuss about world economics. They discuss about, more critical discourse. But after AUKU, orientation week is more about knowing your university without having, some sort of knowledge about how to become a student in its whole sense,
right,
in the term students.
You know, over the years, right, many say that protesting is not Malaysian culture. I'm wondering how much did laws such as AUKU shape that mindset, especially for our parents' generation, right? Because it seems to me that it's our parents' generation that started to say, keep your head down, mind your own business. Protesting is not Malaysian culture. Don't ruffle any feathers. I'm wondering if AUKU had something to do with this sort of mindset.
I think AUKU play a big role, a huge role in curbing this protest culture, because it is quite unfair and also a bit of a revisionist take on history if we were to say that it is not part of Malaysian culture to do protests. We know about Hartal 1946. Of course, history can have two sides. One can say that Malaysia gained independence from a peaceful negotiation, but we cannot erase history and just set aside that Malaysia actually achieved independence because of protest. So it is part of Malaysian culture, and as I mentioned, it's not just the public who go onto the streets and protest. The students are the one who lead this protest. And when AUKU came about a few years, I think around two decades later, mm-hmm, it changed a lot. The students become more, afraid to go to join any protest because it involved their future.
Right.
If they were caught, for example, they might be expelled from the university. They might, they could not afford to join the university back, or even to find, a place in job prospect. So these are the things that comes to mind. When it comes to how AUKU play its role in curbing protests. And we can see the differences in generation.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the generation before independence is the one who go about and protest. But the generation after that, the number of activists that I think even we can see those names are becoming a bit less. Before that, we can mention Anwar Ibrahim, for example. We can mention people like Ahmad Bostamam. But after that, history showed there are only few, only a bunch of names that right. arise during that time. For example, maybe the lecturer from UM, Syed Hussein Ali.
Yes.
Yeah, for example. Or Adam Adli. But these are just handful of names compared to before. And after amendment in 2018-2019, we can see more and more names becoming part of the protest history or the history of civil disobedience. So through this comparison in timeline, we can see that a period where AUKU takes place, the number of student activists decrease. So this can be an evidence to show that, yes, AUKU play a huge role in curbing the protest culture in Malaysia.
Have you, Alif, because you are also an active student activist, you do a lot of activism, you also protest on the streets and all of that. Have you been impacted by AUKU personally? Have you almost been expelled because of your activism? How has AUKU affected you?
To be honest with you, I have not been impacted by AUKU personally. Majorly because in my university, in IIUM, we are not subjected to AUKU.
Mm-hmm.
We are subjected to Companies Act
right.
Rather than AUKU compared to our counterparts in UM and whatnot. But how does it impact me? I would say in terms of establishing ecosystem, because no one is free until everyone is. So even if, let's say, I have the privilege of not being subjected by AUKUS, I have the privilege to go on and protesting on the street without having to think, oh, I'm going to be expelled, I'm going to be suspended from the university. I might have the privilege of that. But if I am the only one who have the privilege on that, then I will be the only one who go on the street to protest without having, you know, my comrades with me.
Right.
Because they are subjected by AUKUS. So in terms of how I would personally be impacted by AUKUS is that I could not be part of an ecosystem, a free and autonomous ecosystem in that sense. And as I mentioned, AUKUS is not just about student. AUKUS is also about how the power is centered towards the minister to choose, for example, the vice chancellor. And also this, of course, give power, some, you know, abuse to the academic freedom.
Right.
So in terms of personal experience, in terms of going to protest, that might not be the case. But in terms of, for example, the academic freedom in its totality, in Malaysian intellectual culture, I am, of course, impacted. We could not talk about, for example, there are rooms, but we might be subjected to certain act if we were to talk about controversial or critical discourse. For example, a discourse about maybe religious discourse, especially those touching on Islam, or a discourse regarding royalty,
right,
or discourse regarding the red history of Malaysia. So due to this, I would say I am impacted when we are talking about the whole ecosystem.
You bring up a very important examples, right? The red history of Malaysia, just talking about religion and royalty from a critical and intellectual discourse. But we see in Malaysia, it's not just those things which are very important. Even something like when Fahmi Reza just wanted to have class democracy all over in public university campuses across the nation, he received a lot of resistance, right? A lot of the universities did not allow him to come inside the campus until they had to go to the Kedai Mama down the street and have the class democracy in that capacity and all of that. Whereas in an ideal situation, you would think that universities would want to encourage more of these types of discussions within their campuses, right? Provide a safe space for people to debate and discuss democracy. But on the flip side, right, what would you say to people who are saying, why do university students need to do that? Why do you all need to get involved in politics and have these kinds of critical discussion? Why do you need to discuss Islam? Why do you need to discuss whether it's about the royalty, whether it's about, you know, our leftist, the movements in Malaysia in the past and all of these things? Why not you just go and study and then go and get a job? How would you respond to that?
I think the public and also the students actually need to understand that university students are not here just to study, but we are here in the university to learn to become the contributing citizens of Malaysia. We are not just here as students joining classes, but we are here so that we can contribute to Malaysia after we graduated from the university. I know there are, of course, this comes from some misconception that university is, you know, some sort of a conveyor belt on the modes of production,
right,
where after graduated we become part of the workforce. But in the end, the true nature of the university is to create a better or holistic human beings, holistic citizens who can contribute to the nation. So discussing politics, discussing about the things that we mentioned, about those critical discourse, is to create a better nation, is to by creating a holistic citizens. So the thing about Fahmi Reza tour, I would say Fahmi Reza's tour all right across Malaysia, I was there with him in the northern part of Malaysia, in USM, UUM and also UNIMAP, where, as I mentioned, in IIUM, when we invited him, there are student groups who invited him, he's not being stopped from the university.
Right.
But when I company Fahmi to other universities, even when he just started his lecture, he already been stopped without them listening to the content from it. So we can see the differences between institutions that are subjected to the output and an autonomous institution. So for this, however, I would say when people say that the student should not go and join a lecture from someone like Fahmi, for example, then the lecturers or the academia should be someone that can give that type of lecture. Someone that can give a lecture that, you know, not just conform to whatever, you know, society say, oh, you cannot do this, you cannot say about this. If we only learn or talk about those, what society deems, suitable, then Malaysia could not progress into whatever country that we want it to be. For example, I think just a simple example is if these students from Sultan Idris Training College are not given the chances to have critical discourse on independence or on economics or on politics, we might not get the independence that we are enjoying right now. So I think it's more of the revisionist take on history, the first one, the culture brought by Auku, and this culture created culture of obedience.
Right.
Merely obeying without questioning.
Absolutely, because education shouldn't just be about creating, you know, functional robots or obedient robots. It's about liberating the minds. On the show with me today is Alif Naif. He's a student activist. After the break, we continue our discussion on Auku. Keep it here on Beyond the Ballot Box, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Beyond the Ballot Box. I'm Dashran Johan, and on the show with me today is Alif Naif. He's the president of the Student Union of International Islamic University Malaysia, IIUM. Alif is also a student activist, and we're talking about AUKU, which is the Universities and University Colleges Act 1971. So, Alif, you know, even while there was AUKU, Malaysians, they always find a way, if, you know, situations are really bad, they find ways to stand up for the marginalized, to organize, to protest. So there have been protests even during AUKU, even by students. I'm wondering, what strategies do student activists use to navigate the restrictions imposed by AUKU?
There are a few strategies mm-hmm. that I can think of. Mm-hmm. First, I would say they go against AUKU heads on. Hmm. AUKU is there.
Right.
They know the repercussion, they know the consequences that might arise from it, but they still go on the street and protest. So some people might say, oh, this is a non-strategy thing. This is just go on to the streets. But for me, it is still strategical, because knowing the fact that there are consequences, but you still go on the street, it's a strategy where you garner support from the public through taking risks by yourself.
Right.
For example, in 2016, there are protests held by UM students on MO1,
right,
or Malaysian Official 1, mm-hmm. regarding the scandalous 1MDB. A few years later, the major actor of 1MDB, Najib himself, is right now in prison. And it started because these students take on the street to, you know, protest about MO1. And of course, they are faced by consequences. The name like, for example, Anis Shafiqah or Suhail mm-hmm. Wan Azhar. These are the names that back in 2016, go on the street with knowing the consequences. But it is so strategical that after that, more and more people really behind them in their course, on their course. And a few years later, we get the results. And okay, but if we were to talk about how do we navigate around AUKU, there are still ways. For example, academic discourse is not always being curbed by AUKU. There are still ways that academicians, for example, use to voice about things that might be controversial. For example, when we talk about royalty, these are very, you know, controversial in Malaysian discourse.
Right.
But there are still books published about royalty. For example, books by Professor Shahiruddin Ma'ruf on Malay ideas on development touch on the idea of royalty. Or even the Syed Hussein Ali himself, a book on Malaysian kings. So usually there are some parts of discourse that might be mislooked by the government. It's either mislooked or because these are respected figures, hence the discourse is allowed.
Right.
So some students also join through this discourse. That's why even during AUKUS time, they can still be articles that might be, you know, show the idea of disobedience towards the Malaysian norm. So these are, I would say, two major ways how the students go around. But again, the one that usually take the risk is the, for me, is the where you go on heads on strategically. Right. But and another one is how you navigate around AUKU to have, you know, to voice out your ideas and concerns.
You touched on this a little bit earlier on, but can you expand a bit? Have there been any changes to AUKU over the past few years, especially since Pakatan Harapan took government in 2018?
I would like to touch a bit further in history.
Okay.
AUKU is there to govern, as we mentioned, we already established AUKU is there to govern universities.
Mm-hmm.
But the most stringent amendment was made in 1975, right, where it include the Section 15, the one that prohibit the students from being political. So before that, yeah, we have AUKU, but the 1975 amendment is the one who made the students, who infantilize the student, make them a bit, I would say, docile in terms of political participation. But in 2012, one part of it was amended too, where the students can participate in politics, but not on campus. They are allowed to participate in politics outside of campus, which is, for me, it's a bit of a weird thing to do, because what's the difference between the life in university and outside? We are not segregating, or we're not differentiating life as a student and life as a citizen. We are not supposed to do that. And after Pakatan Harapan took over, the most major change that was made at the time is on Section 15 that was established back in 1975, especially on Section C, where right now the students can participate in politics on campus. So before that, even having a political discourse on campus, it seemed to be dangerous. It seemed to be as threatening. That's why, for example, two students from IIM, even the president of Student Representative Council at the time, back in 2016 or 15, Brother Hanif Mahpa and also Afiqah Zulkifli,
right
now the special officer of Syed Saddiq.
Yes.
Both of them were suspended from the university. Why? Because they brought Rafizi Ramli to talk about GST. It's an economic discourse. It's not very, you know, controversial or threatening per se, but they are still suspended because why? Because it is seen as being political on campus. So after that, we can see more and more discourse being established on campus. But of course, even the authority has its own way to say, oh, this is not suitable. For example, Fahmi Reza's lecture, it is done after this amendment was made in 2018. But why is his lecture still being stopped?
Right.
The reason being, he doesn't get any permission from the university and all. And I would like to share, there's one interesting incident when Fahmi had his lecture in UNIMAP.
Right.
So, as usual, he you know, put up his whiteboard, and then when he just started, the authorities came. But these are just auxiliary police on campus. And one of the students actually got up and challenged this action taken by the authority. He said that, what if, let's say, because it's an engineering campus, he said, what if my brother comes here and wanted to teach me engineering? Can he or can he not? And then the authority, you know, they lost the argument there because they said, no, he cannot. It is, I mean, the same thing.
It's ridiculous.
If the brother of the students come right. and to teach engineering, the same family come and just to teach politics, just like a textbook things. But the authority said, no, he cannot. So at the time, even the students were like, oh, this is something wrong, you know, to even prohibit a brother of students just to teach engineering, because that is how the argument should go. Mm-hmm. So again, this is how, even after the amendment, the authority still try to find a way to curb political discourse on campus, even after being met with a very sound argument from the student himself. And this is actually recorded and was posted on Twitter. We can still see the argument led by the student in UNIMAP.
Recently, the Higher Education Minister, Dato' Sri Mohamed Khalid Nordin, he said that the government, the current government, has no plans to repeal or abolish the Universities and Universities Colleges Act of 1971. But he also said that they are open to suggestions on how the act can be improved. What are your thoughts on this? Should AUKU be abolished or reformed? What went through your mind when you heard what the Higher Education Minister had to say?
In principle, I have always being a proponent of abolishing AUKU rather than just amend it. Mm-hmm. Because in the end, as I mentioned, it's not just about students and politics. It's about academic freedom. It's about the transparency of, you know, choosing vice chancellors and also administration of a university. So in its whole sense, AUKU is much more than just students and politics. So I'm all about abolishing AUKU. However, when the minister mentioned about there are no plans to abolish AUKU, from my understanding is that since the government took over, there hasn't been any discussion. But that doesn't mean that discussion could not happen in the future. Mm. This is why I think student activists or student groups is lobbying the members of parliament, even part of the executive groups, executive members of the of Malaysia, to, you know, initiate this discussion. If the minister mentioned, oh, there hasn't been any plans before, then there should be a plan after this, because I understand answering question in parliament, if there are not any plans, he cannot answer that there are plans to do so. But there can be, you know, a promise, a commitment to actually abolish AUKU. However, this must be taken, you know, in detail. Because back then, even in 2018, when AUKU were to be amended, just that one part, they established a committee to review AUKU, which, if I'm not mistaken, even Deputy Minister Adam Adli is also part of that committee. So right now, to abolish AUKU and enact a new Higher Education Act to, you know, to replace an outdated AUKU, there need to be a deliberate actions toward it. That's why yesterday in Parliament, the UM Student Union come with 4 demands to the Ministry of Higher Education. One of it, the first one, is to establish back the technical committee to abolish AUKU immediately.
Right.
So this technical committee is not just about abolishing, as we established. It's also about to come with this new act. So when we abolish AUKU, a new act can already be enacted without having, you know, taking a longer time, just abolishing, and then we have to wait for a certain time for AUKU, for a new Higher Education Act to be enacted. So I think regarding what the minister mentioned, this is what comes to mind lah, as of now.
Now, Alif, how important is it for this government, under the leadership of Prime Minister Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim, to repeal or abolish AUKU, or at the very least, create an ecosystem in which students are intellectually liberated, in which students are free to have critical discourses on important political and economic issues in the country, especially given that the Prime Minister was once a student activist himself?
I think it's of utmost priority for this government. Why? Because before the election, the student had a dialogue with the prime. The before that, not the prime minister yet.
Right.
But right now, already the prime minister. But back then, when we had this dialogue with Datuk Seri Anwar, we had to do it in an event hall outside of the university because of, again, it's a political discourse. And one of the thing that the student, because it is an open discussion, and one of the student asked him regarding the freedom of speech of the students. And he has shown his commitment over, not just at the time, but over the years on the, you know, voice of the student. In fact, in UM, when Fahmi Zainal was the president of UM Student Representative Council, this incident where the gates of UM were being dirobohkan,
right,
just to bring Anwar in. So he has shown his commitment even in the dialogue and over the years, even back when he was the leaders of the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think moving forward, because the aspiration of this new government is to create, you know, Malaysia Madani is not just a mere slogan, supposedly. It is supposed to create a nation where the citizens is a developed one, holistically, not just in political participation, but also intellectually, mentally, academically, I would say. So moving towards this, I think it is of utmost priority to abolish AUKUS and come with a new Higher Education Act, so that the vision of the Prime Minister himself can be manifested. And I read his book, The Asian Renaissance,
right,
where we can see the idea is an idea of someone who are given the freedom to think. That's why he can cite thinkers, because before that, he is given the freedom to think, and the same privilege should be given to the students. And the way to start it is, of course, by having a new governing act that is more autonomous in nature, and also the one that provide the student with ground to not just voice out what they think about, but to think critically about what they voice about.
Absolutely. And before we wrap this conversation up, Alif, would you have a final message for us?
We are moving towards a new scene in Malaysian student activism.
Mm-hmm.
We are moving towards an era of student union where there are a commitment made by the government to establish student unions in every university. And student union should not be just a rebranded MPP or SRC. It should be a new type of student governing body. And it can be realized, it can be, being put into reality in its whole sense only if this student union is allowed to have its own autonomy, not just as a student body, but also as students individually, and also as part of the academic ecosystem.
And on that note, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for inviting.
That was Alif Naif. He's a student activist. If you missed any part of our conversation, you can also check us out on podcasts. We are available on the BFM app, bfm.my, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Darshan Johan, and this has been Beyond the Ballot Box, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.